Hi everyone, 欢迎来到酒馆，在这里遇见更广阔的世界。
一些重要的日子是为了提醒自己爱与被爱，找回爱的能力先从悦己开始。酒馆铺子在七夕来临之际，祝愿你有所长，有人爱，生活有期待。即日起到8月19日，酒馆铺子全店每300减30，更有三大专区叠加尊享酒吧折上折。来微信小程序酒馆铺子搜索买一送一，买一送三，买一送四，我们在酒馆等你。Now, on with the show.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Happy Hour. 欢迎回来酒馆。Hi Alan.
Hi Lulu. Hi everyone.
So I have a question for you, Alan.
Okay.
If you had 6 months, a decent amount of savings, and absolutely no obligations, what would you do?
First of all, I would say thank you so much, Lulu, for giving me all of that time off.
Well, that's whole hypothetical is for the discussion.
Oh, okay.
Don't even think about it. Yeah, but well, hypothetically.
Hypothetically speaking, because I'm definitely not going to get that,、I would travel. Not the 3 cities in 10 days kind of travel. I mean really travel. Slowly, deeply, with no set return date. I'd go somewhere completely different.Live there for a while, learn the language, make some local friends, and basically just experience it, really.
That would be your dream life.
That would be my dream life,、yeah.
So not just a holiday, a vacation, something more intentional.
Well, yeah, something that's not about just checking boxes or taking photos so I can post on WeChat. Something that is deeper, something that I would probably callAlan's Grand Tour.
I've heard of the word Grand Tour before, the concept. That's not Alan's Grand Tour. I thought it was rich kids from the West before the aristocrats.
It is. So we're going to actually be looking at the history of the Grand Tour、and its modern descendants like the Gap Year、and what it means to go on your own Grand Tour in the 21st century.
I'm also going to share with you that in China we、had...a history of that as well.
Well, yeah.、So let's start, first of all, with the Western tradition.
Okay.
What exactly was the Grand Tour? The Grand Tour was a practice that began in the late 16th century and reached its height in the 18th century.
Back then, normal people just couldn't really travel. They were stuck in their villages, right?
Well, exactly. And this was the idea that people were traveling for fun and to learn things.Whereas in the past, travelling was something you avoided because it was so dangerous.、So this kind of travel involved wealthy young men from Northern Europe, particularly England, travelling through France and Italy for anywhere between a few months to several years.
You know, you read these stories in a lot of the literary works would describe something about these rich kids travelling.
Well, yeah. The very famous German poet Goethe.He went on a grand tour and he went down to Italy.
Yeah, even later, when I was reading things like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
It also talks about them traveling in Europe.
Yeah, because this was all part of a classical education. So these rich kids spent years studying Greek and Latin, learning about ancient Rome and Greece, but they hadn't actually seen it. So the grand tour was about experiencing that culture...firsthand.
It's the equivalent of a field, a very long field trip.
Yeah. So what they would do is they would cross the English Channel. They'll spend time in Paris studying French manners, fencing, dancing and riding. Bearing in mind that back then, rich kids could generally speak French. Then they'll cross the Alps into Italy, go into Florence, Venice, Rome, Naples, to experience the culture.
I bet Rome was the highlight.
Well, yeah, because they studied art. They visited private collections. And they even got paintings from artists like Canaletto、and bought antiquities to bring back to England.
Wow. Those rich people travelling was really different.
Well, yeah.、And this was also networking because they made connections with the European elite.
Ah, 也是各种各样的社交是吧
Well, yeah.、These were the days when...gentlemen would just go to speak to a friend or a friend, give them a letter and say, I am in town now, would you care to meet? So people were constantly meeting other people as well.
In salons and exclusive clubs, I imagine.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Mm, the high society thing.
Yeah.
But it does sound just like the original gap year for the aristocracy.
Well, yeah. And it only came to an end by the 19th century because travel became more accessible.
Mm.
Because you had railways and then you started to have guidebooks as well. So traveling became less exclusive.
Yeah, and it turned from a luxury to something that average people could afford.
Well, yeah.
Mm. You know, that's a Western tradition. You know, there's a Chinese counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, you've been learning Chinese all these years. Have you ever heard of a term called 壮游?
Yes, from 都府, isn't it?
Wow, I'm so impressed. So 壮, as in 强壮的壮, so it literally means heroic journey, the big journey or journey of ambition.
Okay.
Yeah, so like you said, it's coined by 都府, the great town poet, who wrote a long autobiographical poem called 壮游, which I think it's the very apt translation of the Grand Tour.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was his tour?
He describes his own youth traveling from Luoyang to the south, exploring the Jiangnan region and sailing on the East China Sea. He spent about 4 years on the first journey. And then after failing the imperial exams, he traveled north and east for another 8 or 9 years, meeting people, making connections and just experiencing the world.
Hmm. So that was really a grand tour.
Yeah.
And he wrote a poem about it.
Yeah, a long poem about this.
Mm-hmm.
So this, and you also have to think that he called it 壮游, heroic or ambitious, because he wasn't just like wandering aimlessly.
Yeah.
It was a purpose. It was intentional travel meant to shape a person and prepare them for something, whether it's a career, a life's mission, a calling, or simply a broader understanding of the world.
Yes.
Sounds like all of the things a kid's saying, why we need to take a gap year to find myself.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think across Western and Chinese cultures, we always had that whole idea of the Grand Tour.
Well, yeah. But the question is, what makes a journey a Grand Tour rather than just a very long holiday?
Because they were, I don't know, they were rich?
Well, I would say there are three core criteria.
Okay.
So first of all, it's long. We're talking months, not days.
Mm.
So a grand tour is measured in seasons, not weekends. It's not a three-day city break. It's a complete cultural immersion.
Yeah, you do need that time, actually.
Yeah. Second, it's challenging. So it pushes you out of your comfort zone. You face unfamiliar situations, language barriers, logistical difficulties, and sometimes even real hardships. So you have to overcome obstacles and build your own resilience.
And I think the third is it involves some form of cultural exploration and deep human interaction.
Yeah.
It's not just 走马观花, it's not just like standing in front of a landmark and says, oh yeah, okay, that's the famous landmark.
Yeah.
It's not Dhaka.
No, exactly.
Mm.
And it involves a deep human interaction.
Mm.
You're connecting with people from different backgrounds. You're not just seeing the sights.
And it's also you're reflecting on your own life.
Yeah.
You're building or you're forming understanding of the world.
Precisely.
Mm. By the way, do you feel that when you travel?
I like to feel like I do. To be honest, I really don't talk to many people when I travel. I really should. I really should do that. But when I travel, it's about kind of really me being on my own in a new place, you know, dealing with all the language difficulties and just kind of experiencing the place on my own. That's why I actually prefer solo travel rather than traveling with friends or family.
Mm. Gives you that time to have a deep contemplation.
It does. I know it sounds really weird, but when I travel, it really kind of gets me thinking about the things that are important to me.
Mm.
So I end up coming back from traveling with like new ideas. What was like the Chinese expression? 读完原书行万里路.
Oh, 读万卷书行万里路. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Read 10,000 books.
Travel 10,000 miles. Yeah.
you, and I noticed that you actually read. You read relevant literatures and history books when you're...
When I travel, what I generally do is I usually find an old travel book.
Mm.
It could be like a travel guide. Sometimes it is. But other times it's maybe a book written in the 1930s, 1940s or 1950s about the place I'm visiting. And the thing is, in England, there's so many of those type of books. So it's very easy to find one of a place that you've been to or you are going to. And I like to take the book with me and read it as I'm actually there.
So it's kind of like comparing the past with what you can see right in front of your eyes. Well, that's a very interesting idea. It's almost like you're doing time traveling.
Well, yeah. For example, I went to Marrakesh in Morocco and I found a book written by this guy who lived in Marrakesh in the 1950s. And it talks about his life.
Oh. I, on the other hand, read about folklores in that place.
Okay.
Mm. So I guess we have the same idea but different focus.
Yes.
Mm. It's basically about the balance between scholarly study and lived experience.
Yeah, exactly.
喜欢听酒馆的音频节目，酒馆也有自己的视频号。 现在每天露露都在公益直播，干货多多，欢乐多多。来微信视频号露露的英文小酒馆，一键预约所有直播。 想要加入酒馆社群或者咨询课程，别忘了添加小助手哦。微信号是 LULUXJG，后面一个数字1。